We're turning in our Bibles to Matthew's Gospel at chapter 9 this evening. We're going to read some verses from Matthew's Gospel chapter 9, reading verses 1 to 8. Follow us in the reading of God's precious word, please. Matthew chapter 9. And Jesus entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. And when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. And God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word for his name's sake. Amen. Let's have a wee word of prayer. Heavenly Father, help me to preach thy word this evening. I take that promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost. Oh God, fill me to the uttermost. I take. Please, Lord, undertake for me. Bless in this meeting this evening and open the hearts of men and women to receive thy precious word and to receive Christ himself, who is the living word. For we pray in Jesus' precious name and his glory. Amen. Those of us who are in Israel remember that one of the places that we visited there was the place called Capernaum. I know that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was raised in the house of Mary and Joseph, he was raised there in Nazareth. And also that was a very memorable place where we went to Nazareth. And who will forget seeing that Nazareth village that had been set up there? And just a little boy standing beside his father there at the carpenter bench, just as the Lord Jesus stood beside Joseph many years ago. But you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, whilst it's true that he was raised in Nazareth, yet we find there was a place there in verse number 1, chapter 9, that was said, he came into his own city. Now, that was not Nazareth. He was not speaking about Nazareth there, because we find that the Savior's ministry after his baptism was centered around this place called Capernaum. In actual fact, that was called his own city. And through the years of the Savior's Galilean ministry, the place known as his own city was Capernaum. It was a busy city at that time in Bible times, and today there are the ruins of the synagogue where the Lord Jesus Christ himself went into the synagogue and he taught the people and he performed many miracles. You remember the Lord Jesus Christ said concerning Capernaum in Matthew's Gospel in the chapter number 11, he said, And thou Capernaum, verse 28, he says, Thou Capernaum which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. I say unto you, that's unto Capernaum, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. It was a place that was exalted to the heavens with privileges. They had no excuse. They had the Lord Jesus Christ ministering in their synagogue. They had the Savior doing many wonderful miracles. And of course, the greater the privilege, the greater the condemnation. Friends, those that come to this congregation, what an awful place it'll be when you die in sin and go to hell. And friend, God forbid that that would be. But if you turn away from Christ and if you continue in your sin, that's the only place you'll be, in a Christless and lost sinner's hell. And yet you come to a place where the gospel has been preached. As Sunday after Sunday, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ has been uplifted. We have seen the miracles in this place, the miracles of God's grace. where souls have been gloriously and wonderfully saved by the grace of God. And the greatest miracle of all, of course, is the transformation of a life where a man is on the road to hell and, praise God, by the saving grace of God, is on the road to heaven. Now, in this chapter 9 of the book of Matthew's Gospel, in this place, Capernaum, the Bible tells us about a man. Verse number 2, behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And the Lord Jesus said to this man, if you notice there in this passage of God's word in verse number 2, Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And then he asks a question in verse number 5, whenever the scribes said that the Savior blasphemed, the Lord Jesus said, whither is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk? And I want us to look at this miracle of the healing of this man in Capernaum many years ago. Now, this story is recorded in 3 of the Gospels, in Matthew chapter 9, it's in Mark chapter 2, and in Luke's Gospel chapter 5. The story of the sick of the palsy, or the man who was had a paralysis, he was paralyzed. And there are four simple things that I want to leave you this evening. First of all, we have the paralyzed man, because that's where the chapter commences. Behold, they brought to him a man who was sick of the palsy. Now, we're not told much about this man, but what we do know is this, that this man had a tremendous need. I don't know how that this paralysis happened. Perhaps he was suddenly stricken with paralysis. I don't know. Perhaps it was something that was, there was a gradual process, and over time, this man was completely paralyzed. But what I do know is this, that whatever happened in this man's life, he was completely paralyzed, because he was lying on a bed and there was absolutely nothing that this man could do for himself. Now, the Bible says that he entered into the ship and he passed over and he came into his own city. In other words, the Lord returns to Capernaum. Whenever the Lord returned to Capernaum, he went into a house. Mark's Gospel chapter 2, it says, it was noised abroad that Jesus was in the house. In actual fact, when it was noised abroad that when Jesus was in the house, the people gathered around that house. And there were crowds of people that completely filled the outside of that house, but not only outside, but filled the inside of that house. There were so many people there, the house was completely filled in every space. Now, the Word of God in Mark's Gospel chapter 2 tells us what Jesus did there. The Bible says that the Lord Jesus preached the Word unto them. That's why, I don't know why the people came, but I tell you, I know what they got. And friend, I don't know what you have come for this evening, but I know what you're going to get. You're going to get the Word of God. And God has called this place to be a simple preaching house where the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the living Word of God, is exalted and the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is preached. What I do know is this. Not everybody came to this meeting where the Lord Jesus was at, in this house, for the same reason and with the same attitude. They weren't there for the same purpose. The Bible tells us, of course, there were those who did come to learn. They wanted to hear the Lord Jesus. They wanted to hear His Word. And my, they would say, Lord, speak on, because they were desirous to be fed the Word of the living God from the lips of the Master Himself. But friend, there were those who didn't come to listen. They came to see. All they were there for was to see. They were there to criticize. They were there to complain. But I don't care why they came. Jesus kept preaching on. Hallelujah. He didn't stop because of the critics. And He didn't stop because of the murmurers and the complainers. Thank God, the Bible says He preached the Word unto them. Now, whilst the multitude crowded round to get to the Lord Jesus Christ, there was one man in that city that had got a problem. Friend, listen, it was simply this. He simply couldn't come. He couldn't come to that meeting. And the reason why he couldn't come was this. It wasn't that he didn't want to come. I believe he did. But friend, it was humanly impossible for him to come because he was absolutely and completely paralyzed. He needed to come, but he couldn't come because he was paralyzed. The Bible says in verse number 2, he was lying on a bed. In other words, he wasn't able to move. Here was a man that wasn't able to move. And yet I believe with all my heart, this man desired to come to Jesus. He desired to get to Jesus. He wanted to meet with Jesus, but he couldn't come because of the problems that were inherent in him because of the disease that had taken hold in his body. Can I ask you a question tonight? Are you desirous to meet the Lord Jesus? This man was. Have you come to God's house, my friend, desiring in your heart to hear the word of God and through the finishes of preaching to put your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, somehow this man had heard about Jesus, and I believe he desired to be taken to the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, how do you find that out in that passage of God's word? Let me tell you this. I have no doubt that these four men could not have brought this man without his willingness to come. I do not believe that these four men would have gone through everything they went through in getting this man to the feet of Jesus without this man having desire, in other words, beckoning or begging them, please, someone take me to Jesus. He wanted to get to Jesus, friend. And I believe that a miracle had already started in his heart with that desire, because that was the working of God. And friend, if there's a desire in your heart tonight to know the saving grace of God, that's the start of the work of grace in your heart, because man left to himself will not desire. The Bible says there is none that seeketh after God, no, not one. And if there's a desire in your heart and you're listening to the preacher tonight and you're saying, preacher, I would love to know the Savior that Derek's been talking about. I would love to know this healing Christ, the healer of broken hearts that our brother has talked tonight about, even in the midst of tragedy in his family and that little child being taken from them. Jesus, healer of broken hearts, heal this heart of mine. And you say, I'd love to know it. Is there a desire in your heart tonight to know him? Is there a burden in your heart tonight, a desire to be healed by the Savior himself? And I believe that the work of God had already started in this heart, but praise God, I'm glad it came to complete fruition and this man was gloriously and wonderfully healed. You may ask, how do I know that this man believed that Jesus was the answer? And the little verse there, if you look there in verse number 2, it says, behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying in the bed, and Jesus seeing their faith. Now, I don't believe, when I read this passage of God's word, and I read Mark's gospel, and I read Luke's gospel, I do not believe that Jesus simply saw the faith of the four men. I believe he saw the faith of the five. I believe the five men were in this. The man that was needing the healing, the four men that were willing to bring their friend to the Lord Jesus Christ. He longed that someone would take him to Jesus. And I believe, friend, deep in my heart, here was four men that they carried this man in the bed with all the obstacles. I'm sure here's a man lying in bed, and he was lying there. He didn't want people to look upon him. He felt, you know, that people were, he was self-conscious. What would people say? Let me tell you, he got beyond that. Bring me to Jesus. Bring me to Jesus. I need the healing power of Christ. In spite of the multitude, in spite of the obstacles, friend, he was willing to be carried to Jesus because he knew that Christ was his only hope. I want to tell you, sinner, tonight, there is no hope for you outside of Christ. You're lost without the Lord Jesus Christ, just like this man was. And the Lord Jesus Christ is your only hope. You know, you have a worse problem than he had. You have the problem not of a diseased body, perhaps, but you have a problem of a diseased soul. And friend, just like this man, you're incapable of yourself to come to Christ. This man couldn't come himself. He needed these men to bring him. He couldn't come of himself to Christ. And friend, of yourself, you are incapable to do anything for the salvation of your soul, but throw yourself upon Christ who alone can save you. You're incapable of knowing God. You can have a head knowledge about God. But just like every other sinner, you're in darkness. The darkness of your heart, the darkness of your sin, without the light of the glorious gospel. Only the Spirit of God can open your understanding. Only the Spirit of God, friend, can enlighten your mind. And that's what I pray as I step into this pulpit tonight. Oh, Spirit of God, come tonight. And oh God, take away the darkness that's in the hearts of men and women. Oh God, take away the blindness that's in the eyes of men and women spiritually. And oh God, take away the deadness that's in their soul. Oh God, reveal thyself and open their understanding that they might see Jesus. Friend, let me tell you, you're incapable of knowing God of yourself. You're incapable of loving God of yourself. You are estranged from God. You are at enmity with God. That's where the Bible says the sinner is. You are ungodly. You are without God. You love the things of the world and the pleasures of the world and self. And of yourself, you're incapable of loving God. There has to be a miracle of grace in your heart. That's why Jesus said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's all he is. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Hallelujah for the work of the Spirit of God in the man's heart. That's what happened in our brother Derek's life when he sat on that little mission many years ago. The Spirit of God opened his mind and showed him his lostness and his helplessness and his hopelessness. And showed him that he needed Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the only Savior of the soul. You are of yourselves incapable of knowing God, of loving God, of obeying God. Why? Because you're in rebellion against God. And you're always off course without strength to do anything about it. Just like this man. Listen, friend, you need a miracle. You need a miracle tonight. You need the miracle of God's grace. Because of yourself, you will not be able to change your heart or your situation. But praise God, Jesus can. And there we see the paralyzed man, totally incapable of doing anything. And friends, so are you without Jesus Christ, totally incapable of saving your soul. And left to yourself, you'll be lost for all eternity. But the second thing is this, the performing messengers. Let's not forget the four men, because the Lord didn't. Now, the interesting thing is this, friend, listen. The Lord never mentions any of these names, because that doesn't matter. These names are not given here, let me tell you, because I believe that these men could represent you. And these men can represent me. You see, it's what Jesus did that really changed this man's life. Yes, these four men brought the man to Jesus and laid him before him. But let me tell you, when the man had finished with him, he was lying there just as he came in. And just as he was lying at home, he was lying at the feet of Jesus. He wasn't changed. It was Jesus that changed him. And friend, let me tell you tonight, you need to know, it's Jesus that can change your heart. It's Jesus that can change your life. Thank God they were friends that cared enough, that were willing to do something, willing to do anything to get this man to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this question, friend. What are you willing to do? Child of God, how far are you willing to go to get someone to Jesus? How burdened are you about the need of your loved ones that are dying without the Lord Jesus Christ? I hear some people say, my loved ones are not saved. Friend, what are you doing about it? Have you invited them to hear the gospel? Are you ashamed that they would come to a church where there's just simple old-fashioned preaching of the Word of God? Then what are you willing to do about it? These men, they were willing to do something. They cared enough. But I could ask the question, how much do you care? How much do you care? What are you willing to do to show that you care? I haven't time to go through the story, friend, but let me tell you, these four men, I'll tell you how much they cared. These four men heard the beckoning of this poor soul in need. They said, please bring me to Jesus. Bring me to Jesus. And those four men, they knelt together around that bed of that man that was hopeless. And they got to each corner. And they knelt together. And then they lifted together. And then they stood together. And then they carried together. And then they labored together up there on the roof. And then they let them down together. You notice I said together, together, together. I'll tell you why. When those four men were carrying that man who was totally paralyzed, friend, listen, if one had stumbled, if one of them at the corners had let down, the man would have tumbled out. They had to do it together. And that's what the Church of Jesus Christ needs to do in this lost world. God's children have got to kneel together. They've got to lift together. They've got to stand together. They've got to carry together. They've got to labor together. They've got to let down together. In God's name, give us the unity of the people of God to forget the nonsense about other things and lift men and women and carry them to Jesus. That's what it's all about. It's not about you or about me. It's all about getting men and women to Jesus Christ, the blessed Son of God. Friend, there were obstacles that faced these men. The house was packed. I believe these men, first of all, they tried to make their way through the crowd at the door, but nobody would move. Nobody would move. They weren't caring. They didn't care about this man that was lying in the bed that needed to get the feet of Jesus. No. They didn't want to move. Nobody would make way. And they tried everything, but hallelujah, friend, praise God, they didn't abandon the task. Oh, they were tested. They were tested. Their stickability was tested. It could have been easy to say to the poor man, listen, friend, we've helped you. We've done all we can. Listen, nobody will move. Nobody will stand to the side. Nobody will let us in. I want to tell you, friend, they wanted to get this man to Jesus, and they didn't care. They didn't care about the obstacles. They didn't care about the problems. They didn't care about the things that were standing in their way. It was too important. They had faith that Christ was the answer. And thank God their faith conquered all obstacles. So what did they do? They went up to the roof. They didn't care what people thought. And they started to remove the covering of the roof. They didn't care the cost. They were willing to pay the cost, friend, whatever it was. They were willing to get this man to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they removed the covering of the roof. That took courage. And before they finished, what does it say in the Word of God? And behold, they brought a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer. Turn to Mark's Gospel. Keep your hand there. Mark's Gospel, chapter 2. And in Mark's Gospel, chapter 2, friend, it tells us the story of this man here and how that he came. Verse number 1, again he entered. That was Jesus entered to Capernaum. Verse 2, and straightway many were gathered together, insomuch there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. They come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Thank God for these men that were able to overcome all obstacles, that were able to overcome all the opposition of hell. That's why I rejoiced yesterday that even though the old equipment didn't work, praise God, we still went on with the open air just to be able to take our stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, 19, let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. That's what they wanted, friend, just before Jesus. There we see the performing messengers very quickly. Notice the pardoning master. Now, I think this is powerful, what has happened here, friend, but I tell you, the message gets better. I think this is lovely here. Matthew chapter 9, verse 3. Or verse 2, he says, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk. As that poor soul lay there, and the crowd were aghast at what these men did. Listen, they have destroyed the roof. Do you know what these men have done? They have destroyed this house. They were more worried about the bricks and mortar or the old tiles or the leaves that were in the roof and the mud was in the roof than they were about the man. Well, there's an awful lot of people like that today. They're more worried about money. They're more worried about things of this world than they are about the souls of men and women. And these men stand aghast at what had happened. And then Jesus breaks the silence. Jesus says, son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. I believe, my friend, when the Lord looked at that man, he knew that that man had a heavier burden than the paralysis that was in his body. He knew that the real problem was his sin. And the Lord Jesus knew all about that man. And the Lord that day didn't deal with a symptom. Jesus dealt with the source. And sometimes, my friend, let me tell you, what we want to do is deal with symptoms. Jesus Christ dealt with the source, because sin is the root cause of all the world's ills. And the sad thing today is this. We've all our priorities skewed, friend, because there are so many today and they're more concerned about the physical ailments than they are about the spiritual. Listen to me carefully. If the Lord Jesus had healed him and not dealt with a sin, listen to me carefully, friend. If the Lord Jesus had healed that man and not dealt with a sin, what would he have been that day going home? He'd been a lost sinner. Oh, yes, an able-bodied sinner. But he'd still been lost. Tell me, if the Lord Jesus Christ has simply dealt with the healing of his body and not dealt with his sin that day, tell me, where would he be tonight? I'll tell you. He'd be in hell. He'd be in hell. Tell me, what do you think is the more important? The Lord could have sent him home. Listen to me. The Lord could have sent him home with a healed body. And he could have left the Savior. He could have turned away. My jumping and jumping and jumping because of a healed body. And he could have been left. He could have left the Savior in his sin. And one day he would have died. And God would have required his soul. And he went to hell. Eternally lost forever. Let me tell you, friend, listen to me. The forgiveness of sin is a greater miracle than the healing of the body. The Word of God tells me, forget not all His benefits. In the book of the Psalms, and then this is what the Holy Spirit says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. If man had been writing that, he would have put it the other way. Because man's more concerned about his body than he is about his soul. The Lord Jesus looked at that man. And you know, others looked at him and saw just a poor paralyzed man. Let me tell you, the Lord Jesus looked upon him, a poor sinner who needed his sins forgiven. And you see, when God looks at you, me, friend, let me tell you, when we were in our sin, the Lord looked upon us in compassion and love and in mercy. He saw us a sinner. You know, the Lord Jesus fed 5,000 people, including the woman and the children, and after there were 12 baskets over. But that miracle wasn't as powerful as the forgiveness of sin that that man experienced that day. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 7, it tells us about the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 21. In that hour, he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Let me tell you, friend, he did that without any effort. But there was more power that day, the healing. And the saving of that poor soul lying upon his bed when Jesus said, thy sins forgiven. You see, for God to forgive our sins, friend, his justice and his holiness must be satisfied. You read the life story of the Lord Jesus in the Gospels, and they brought to him many who needed healing, and he healed anybody. He healed anybody. But when Jesus said to this man, he says, thy sins be forgiven thee. This is a personal salvation. And the scribes, they got all worked up. And they said, this man blasphemeth. So the Lord Jesus Christ said to them, verse 5, Matthew 9, whether is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise and walk? Which do you think is the hardest? Which you think is the hardest? For a man to be healed of his body, or a soul to be healed of a sin? Let me tell you, God will not forgive sin without his justice being satisfied. God's a holy God. He's not going to turn a blind eye at sin. He's not going to overlook sin. He looks sin in the face. And God will judge sin. His holiness must be satisfied. His holy law must be vindicated. And if God is to forgive one sin, then his satisfaction must be supplied. No sin can be forgiven except it be in accordance to the holy justice and the righteous judgment of God. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Friend, let me ask you tonight, do you know what it is to be forgiven? Do you know what it is to have your sins blotted out, never to be remembered against you anymore? Have you that peace in your heart tonight? That peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ? If your sins are not forgiven tonight, then you're still in your sin. Our brother quoted that little verse from God's precious word. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Notice what the Lord Jesus said. Just simple. His words that, son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. It's a personal thing. Personal thing. thy sins be forgiven. Thank God it was not only, it was a comprehensive, not one sin, but all thy sins, inclusive. One sudden sweep of divine mercy. Thy sins are forgiven thee. Finally, it was a powerful miracle. You know, the man simply took the Lord Jesus at his word. Notice what it says, verse 7. It says in verse 6 at the end of it, arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thy house. The Bible says, and he arose. Simple as that. He arose. Why, friend, how did it happen? He took the Lord at his word. He put his faith. He believed the Lord. He believed the Lord. He simply took the Lord at his word. The Bible tells us here was an immediate healing. Thank God that the word of God says he says, and he arose. And he departed his house. Just what Jesus said. That's what Jesus told him to do. It was an immediate cure. Thank God it was a complete cure. In Mark's Gospel chapter 2, in verse 12, in this same story again, it says this, and immediately arose and took up his bed and went forth before them all. He took up his bed. He not only arose, but he needed the bed. And he decided, he came to the Lord Jesus, and his head was in the bed, but praise God, he went away with the bed on his head. He wasn't going to leave the bed behind. Must have been a Bellarmine man. And it says, he arose, and he took up his bed. That's what Jesus told him to do, of course. Verse number 11, chapter 2, Mark, it says, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed. Don't leave it behind you. Take your bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose and he took up his bed and he went forth before them all. He was carried by four, but praise God, he carried the bed away. Didn't need anybody else. Why? He had the word of the Lord. Thank God by the blood of Jesus we're cleansed. And thank God by the word of Christ we're sure. And he took up his bed, it says, and went forth before them all. This was a complete work of God. This wasn't a half-done job. Thank God it was complete. And notice what happened as well. Because the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 9, it says in verse number 8, and when the multitude saw it, they marveled, they glorified God, which had given such power unto men. And my, they're praising, they're rejoicing in the miracle that was done. But what does Luke say? When you go to Luke's Gospel in chapter 5, in verse 25, it says, and immediately he rose up before them, and he took up that whereon he lay, and he departed to his own house, glorifying God. He was happy too. Thank God he went home rejoicing for what the Lord had done for him. Yes, the people glorified God, but thank God so did he. Verse 26 of Luke chapter 5, and they were all amazed and they feared God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things this day. The miracle. The miracle of God's amazing grace. A man that could do absolutely nothing for himself. But thank God for those friends that brought him to Jesus. And they knit their hearts together in faith, believing Christ was the answer. And when Christ saw their faith, he said, son, be of good cheer. The Savior didn't only deal with the symptoms of a broken body, but the Savior dealt with the source of a sinful soul. Now, friend, hear Listen to me. And where is he tonight? Thank God, forgiven. He's in heaven. Now, you could have a healed body, friend, and a sinful soul. And one day you'll die, and you'll close your eyes, and you'll step out to God's in eternity, and if you die without Jesus, you'll be in hell forever. But thank God, him that cometh to me, Jesus said, they shall not perish, but they will have everlasting life. Will you come to Jesus tonight? I'm not asking you to come to the church. I'm not asking you to come to the preacher. I'm not asking you to come to the communion table. I'm asking you to come by faith, believing the word, believing what Christ says, believing the command that Christ gives. He says, come unto me. He says, him that cometh, I'll in no wise cast out. Take him at his word tonight. Come by faith to Jesus. And thank God he'll pardon your sin-sick soul.